This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Good Friday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny on May 9th, 2025. You are listening to The Fan. We've got Derek Law, reliever, Washington Nationals, on the show in 28 minutes. And you're going, why? Why would you have Derek Law on the show? He's hurt. He's not pitching. And the reason is he was at the Caps game in one of the two suites that the Nats bought out last night. And when they were showed on the screen in the arena, he ripped his shirt off, went tarps off, and chugged a beer. So we want to talk to Derek Law about that and the experience for all of his Nats teammates at the Caps game last night. But I couldn't believe my eyes. Lo and behold, every now and then, David beats Goliath. This ragtag group of Reston Raiders last night found a way to beat the greatest hockey team of all time, 3-1 at Capital One Arena, and the Caps are back even with the Canes in this best-of-seven series. Danny, they could not go to Raleigh, down 2-0. And now they will travel down to Raleigh for Saturday's game tomorrow night at 6 p.m. with a best-of-seven series all even.
At first period, I was worried, man. I was worried it was more of the same. I was worried it was, you know, maybe not as bad as game number one, but it just felt similar, right, where Carolina's out everything. They're quicker to lose pucks. They're getting it deep. It's that possession game and shot after shot after shot, just chipping away, et cetera. And then the second period happened. And when that second period happened, you breathe a new life. Now all of a sudden you go, oh, that's right. Washington's capable of some things, too. And that was really exciting. That was cool to see. They had to have it. I thought Tom Wilson, take a bow and do it right in front of their bench because they hate your guts, and you control them all you want, you gentle prince, you 77-pack abdominal deity walking among us, hitting everything. Oh, he was great last night, GP. That's the kind of that expression that you use that the hockey people like to use about dragging people into the fight. That's what happened. That's your lead goose last night, man.
Tom Wilson was incredible. That was as good as he's going to play. And it wasn't even like a heavy impact offensive chances game. It's not like he had 6 shots and 2 goals, 2 assists. He did have the primary with an unbelievable pass on the John Carlson power play that proved to be the game winner. And he obviously potted the empty net goal at the end of the game that put the tilt on ice. So he was certainly impactful on the offensive end. But it was about him laying out 4 different times on the defensive end.
Yeah.
To block shots. It was about another physical, violent hit that changed the complexion of a game in this postseason, I thought, when he laid a player out on a sequence at the end of the second period and then made a couple of big stops, again, laying out at the end of 20 minutes where the Caps were reeling a little bit. I saw the first period a little bit differently. It sounds like it was a 7-5 shot discrepancy in the first period. I certainly think the first several minutes, the Caps got their forecheck going a little bit, and then the Canes outplayed them for sure and kind of dictated terms. But as we talked a lot about after game one, that's what this series is going to look like. That's Carolina's style of play, and it's a style of play Washington doesn't necessarily mind. It's just to what extreme is it going to be the case, right? The problem isn't getting outshot. You're going to get outshot. The problem is you can't have it be 90-plus to 20-plus or whatever game one was. The problem for me in game one was not giving up 90 attempts, many of which weren't quality. ESPN's obsessed with shot attempts, by the way. So your boy had strep throat, and I couldn't go to the game. I stayed home and watched the game. And I now know why everyone was so negative, in addition to the Caps playing terribly, after game one. Oh, my God, that broadcast. You would think the Capitals won the lottery to get into the playoffs. The worst team in the NHL. Sean McDonough, you cut him open and Rod Brindamore falls out. I mean, that was embarrassing, I thought, watching that telecast last night with the amount of little zings on the Capitals with every moment as a play-by-play broadcaster editorializing, not your job, pal. The Caps get a scoring chance, and he goes, a rare scoring a chance, or they almost score a goal or whatever, and he's like, the fans finally with something to cheer about. They finally get a shot on goal. It's 2-2 shots on goal at this point. Like, just unbelievable. So I now get why Caps fans acted like game one was one of the most lopsided games of all time. Having said that, I thought the end of the first period, they found their game. The last few minutes there, they tilted the ice. They went into the intermission. P.K. Subban was one of the few guys on that broadcast that seems to have any kind of neutrality. I thought he made some good points about the forecheck and Mangiapane and how he had played. And then they go into the second period. And, Danny, that was the first time all series, and I know it was only the fifth period they played, but that was the first period where they were clearly the better team in terms of tilting the ice. They had not done that. I just don't think they're going to do it that often. Again, it's not their style. It's certainly not the style Carolina plays either. But that was the first time where you go, they're finding their game. They're no longer chasing, right? They're no longer... It seemed like they were basically reacting to Carolina for the majority of 3.5 periods. And then something flipped in the end of the first. They're basically even in every category or above. At the end of the first, and by the end of the second, they were ahead in every category other than the shot attempts one that ESPN is obsessed with.
Yeah, it was a matter of time. Or let me rephrase. You hope that the Caps would find something, whatever the something is, where you could start to implement your will a little bit, right, or impose it a little bit. They weren't. I mean, the game plan was Carolina style, Carolina's way. It's like if you play, a Greg Roman offense years ago, like when he's coaching the Ravens, the OC for the Ravens. And you're like, you know what? We're going to run read option and zone read better than they are. We're going to let's run it more than them. And you're trying to play that kind of game. And it's all of a sudden turns into that style. You got to dictate to them a little bit. And it wasn't really until, like you're talking about, sparing moments, I thought, in the first period. But really the second period where you go, oh, that's right. This team is capable. Again, this is the second playoff series now where I had a question coming into the series. I didn't know if all the rest, rust, regression, lack of whatever you want to call it down the stretch for the team, if they're going to be able to turn it on. That question got answered. The answer is yes. I didn't know if they'd have periods like the second period with this style, with how Carolina bothers them and when their intensity is turned up to 11 come playoff time, if the Caps could manage it. And the answer is yes. So now you're in a fight, and I'll take my chances here. They're still underdogs, the Capitals are. I got no problem with that. Let's play five more games of hockey and see how it shakes out.
Yeah, so that kind of brings me to the poll of the day, which I think is getting to what you're talking about, actually. It's our G&D poll of the day. You can go vote. It's at Grant H. Paulson right now. I think we retweeted it from 106.7 The Fan, but it's on my Twitter account. This is brought to you by Metropolitan Moving and Storage, local, long-distance, residential, commercial, 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. How do you feel after 2 games about Caps Canes compared to how you felt before the series started? Better, worse, or the same? One of those three options. Right now, 800-plus votes in. 54% of you feel about the same, 11% feel worse, and 36% feel better. I'll be honest, I don't know how you could feel better necessarily because of Carolina being able to dictate terms as often as they have. I certainly don't feel worse, though. I understand that being third in the polling. I feel about the same. My thoughts coming in were, I don't love this matchup, I never will, but it's going to be ugly. Occasionally, they're going to get outchanced by a lot for long, long stretches. I didn't think the reaction to the contrasting styles would be as negative as it has been. It's a lot of people that are going, oh my God, look at the shot attempts. This is what Carolina does. The Caps, by the way, were this team at one point in time. They were the fast team that just threw pucks on the net and got up and down the ice, and they did it for a lot of years and won a lot of games and had nothing to show for it in the playoffs. And everyone wanted to change styles. And now they're the big, physical, heavy team, by the way, with more speed than they get credit for. Although Spencer Carver doesn't seem that worried about the speed because he benched one of his fastest guys, Ryan Leonard, for a guy that's just a better puck-controlling player in the defensive zone, helping out and being responsible in the right spot, and Taylor Radish in the win. So they got slower, and they won the game, which I find interesting because everyone's saying the speed of Carolina is going to be the detriment. But, yeah, I had Carolina in 7 when the series started. I don't love the matchup, but what I didn't get out of game 1 and what you will never find listening to Sean McDonough on the call of these games, as I found out, the Caps are pretty damn good too. Like, that's the acknowledgement that I'm looking for. I'm telling everyone Carolina's great. But one of these two teams was the best team in the East, and until they started chasing Ovi's record, was the best team in the National Hockey League by several wins. And one of these two teams was top 5 in goals scored and goals allowed, and it's not Carolina. So after game 1, the narrative of like, oh man, they're screwed, the series is over, it's a long series. Do you not trust your head coach who's going to win the award for being the best in hockey to make a couple of adjustments? And sure as hell, Spencer Carberry did. But if they go to Carolina now and lose 2, that's not shocking to me. And you're in a really bad spot, down 3-1. But you got to find a way to steal one of those games, get back here 2-2, and then you're basically right where you should be, on your way on the HOV lane to a 7-game series, a long series against a team that's really, really good.
Yeah, that first game put the extra amount of pressure on, though. If it was reversed and they'd won that first one, lost the second one, I think it would be a different story for me. But my answer to the poll question is I feel a lot better. I felt terrible. And if I'm one of the guys you're making fun of, I'll wear that. But to me, I felt terrible about the matchup. And it was this kind of feeling where between the two teams, Carolina to me had this bully ability, even though the Caps are bigger physically and like would win in fisticuffs, but that's not what the hockey match is. It's this style that they just sort of get lulled into, and then it's turnover after turnover, it's chance after chance for Carolina. It's kind of putting that pressure on the face-off disparity, the zone time. It's less to me about flimsy shot attempts where they're flicking pucks at the net. It's more about Washington never has a chance, has no offense because they're constantly just fetching the puck back in their own end. And that was the case for some of the game last night. It's always going to be some of the case. But that disparity was so stark, I was worried that they wouldn't have an answer. They did. They had an answer last night. So now that my question has been answered. Are they capable of it? The answer is yes. Now, again, we're in that.
But you knew they were capable of it.
I didn't, honestly. I didn't know.
The whole season didn't give you that indication?
No, not against that team playing that way. So I was curious. Curious is the right word. I wasn't confident. Again, the fact is that as we talked about the other day, if you gave these two teams an 82-game sample, I think the Caps returned with more points and more prolific things, and they did that. I think that's correct, and that was a good assessment. But this matchup, for whatever reason, something about that style, something about the fact that their guys aren't intimidated, they never back off, and they you don't make them back off. You don't punish them for having the third forward too low in the zone or being over-aggressive on a forecheck. The Caps are just playing fetch, going back in their own end. I was worried they wouldn't be able to have a good counterpunch, and they did. And so now I'm kind of going, okay, it's in there. Let's see how often they can get to it.
So I feel the same as I did before the series. If I had to pick worse or better, though, I'd go worse because Carolina has gotten to its A game more often than I would have thought in Washington. And if the two games that had been played, 1-1 to this extent where you went to overtime twice, were in Carolina and now you were coming back to D.C., then I'd feel better. Like, if these two games happened in Carolina, I'd be thrilled. But because they happened with you having last change and you getting the matchups you wanted, going now to Carolina, I would say I feel worse overall because this was kind of as good as it's going to get from a matchup standpoint, and it was pretty lopsided at times. But about the same. I mean, 1-1, long series through 7, I'm okay with that. Last night, I thought Logan Thompson was phenomenal again, and that's what gives me confidence that you'll be in every single game. You know, I keep bringing up the telecast. I just found the whole thing infuriating last night, but it's so funny to me. Like, they're saying at one point, the Capitals just scored for only the 3rd time in the series. Same number of goals as the other team. They now have more goals than the other team. That, I guess, is my frustration with the ribbing is like, it's been hard for them to score goals. Imagine if they had led this series, trailed this series for a single second at any moment. They haven't. They didn't trail in game 1 for 1 second. They lost at the horn on overtime on a walk-off. And they didn't trail for a single second in game 2. So I just don't know that the negativity completely matches what's actually happened on the ice. Even though, as we talked about for a full day, they did get dominated and dictated to. But I think they were, as bad as they were, able to handle it pretty well. And the Thompson element here is a big deal. Because while analytics love shot attempts, I get it. They're all about the perimeter shot attempts. Like I went in and scrolled through some Carolina reporters last night, and their takeaway after the game was, they got to get pucks inside. They got to get closer to the net. These shots from the perimeter aren't helping. Logan Thompson's too comfortable. You're making him look too good. Like that's what they're talking about now. We're all going, oh my God, they shoot so much. And they're going, hey, instead of shooting so much from the perimeter, let's try to get better chances like Washington does. And you don't hear a lot of that on the national broadcast at all. But enough about that. I will say I understand what you guys get annoyed by. I need to turn down the TV and turn on John Walton for sure the next time I'm home for a home Capitals game. But let's go to our Elite Player of the Game, Danny. I want to give the award away. Presented by Elite Power and Energy Corporation, let Elite Power and Energy install a backup generator for you and fill your propane tank so you don't lose power when the storm hits. 24/7 service. Complete and powerful solutions, ElitePowerAndEnergyCorp.com. Which of the little Capitals last night, the Reston Raiders that beat the old 79 Montreal Canadiens, do you give the Elite Player of the Game to?
Tom Wilson's come on down, Elite Player of the Game for me. Could be Connor McMichael with getting him on the board and kind of breaking the ice there, so to speak, but I thought Wilson was a demon on both ends. Just under 20 minutes of ice time, I think one of the leaders among the forwards, if not the leader. I thought he was sensational. That to me is the Tom Wilson experience, right? Extracurriculars after the whistle, barking at people, you know, face washing, shoving, headlocking, ripping you off somebody, knocking guys into the dirt. When it comes to open ice,
you see Aho ramming him with the stick while he was laying on the ice.
Yeah,
made him get up and put him in a headlock.
Uh huh.
He was not a happy camper.
Scores that empty netter, can celebrate right in front of their bench. Primary assist on a goal. I thought Wilson was the MVP last night.
I'm gonna go with Logan Thompson, only because you went Willie, who had three shots. By the way, he was statistically given only two blocks last night. How is that possible?
Help me understand that.
Two blocks? Are you kidding me?
I thought that was like one possession he had two.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
The last shift of the second period.
I guess if you don't get the shot off because he's roll blocking into you like he's breaking up a 1980s double play, maybe it doesn't count as a shot anymore. I don't know, man.
When I see that, it makes me question that stat in general because, like, what are you doing? I'll go Logan Thompson, though. While, again, it was not as crazy a game as some that he's had where he has to make these acrobatic, athletic, unbelievable saves, and he's moving all over the cage. Carolina ended up with 17 high-danger chances last night. I actually thought, defensively, this is going to sound crazy because the Caps were pretty good, but I thought they gave up more scary looks to Carolina last night than they did in Game 1. And that's backed up by the high-danger ops going from 14 to 17. They were minus 2 in high-danger shots in Game 1. They were actually minus 5. Believe it or not, last night. So it was a little more lopsided. But Thompson did a brilliant job on a couple of those where he needed to be big. And the only goal he gave up, a power play goal, so even strength, it was 2-0 Washington last night. But LT, the goal he gave up, I thought when he got over it, it was a hell of a shot by Gostisbehere, but he almost stopped it.
He actually got there and went under his armpit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was actually a pretty bad bounce, but like those happen, that's hockey. But it basically was a, you know, pass or shot, I couldn't tell, that rammed off Carlson's legs and right onto the stick of Gostisbehere with nobody around him because, you know, it was, you're not playing that pass when the player's not passing to him. And the puck just ended up on his stick perfectly. Or else maybe we're talking about a 27-save shutty and he doesn't give up a single goal. But it's hard to not give him all the credit in the world for the Capitals, A, having beaten Montreal, and B, being in this series where they played in overtime in a loss, where they got manhandled for stretches that game, and then get a win last night, a .964 save percentage. He's been the best goalie in the playoffs.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, some of that, you're going to get, I mean, I remember it's a mirror image or it's a reversal of that Washington-Montreal series from over a decade ago when, as you said, Washington's shooting the perimeter shots and Yaroslav Halak sees them all and can save them all. So part of that, you're going to have a little bit better of a save percentage. But the point of the strategy, it's waves crashing on the shore. It's more defensive zone faceoffs. It's more rebounds. It's just more that you've got to do. Just constantly think at the armor. And if you hold up, if you don't get out of position, if you don't get too frantic, if you maintain your composure, you can have really, really good games. And Thompson is 2 for 2. He's going to continue to be their most important player in this whole series. I'm with you.
We talked about this on Wednesday, you know, after they'd lost Game 1 and everyone was panicking, but in addition to the fact, like, my confidence that they get back into the series came from Carver is really good at this, number one. Number two, you've got the better goalie in the series and a guy that's playing out of his mind in Thompson. So you're going to be in most games. He'll have a bad game at some point, and you'll lose 4-1 or whatever. But more often than not, it's going to look more like last night. And then number three, that this is a good hockey team. Like, this does not feel like a team that gets swept or probably loses in five. I guess if the Hurricanes just played out of their mind, it's possible. But it felt to me like after watching them all year, you're going to beat this team, they're going to be a tough out. It's going to take 6 or 7 games. And so that was kind of where it came from for me. But I just didn't think there was enough talk about LT going into game two. Remember, we had Adam Gold on from Carolina, the radio guy down there, my buddy. And he said, you know, they felt like they had the goalie advantage going into the series with Freddie Anderson. I didn't feel that way, but I'm a homer here in D.C. I would imagine that they would acknowledge through two games that Thompson's been way better. Although I will say, I thought the second period last night, Anderson was fantastic. That stretch there where Bevilier missed the empty net, which, by the way, I'll never forgive him for that.
Yeah, I think that was like Anderson was using the force there or something.
Well, that one wasn't his good save. Yeah. But in that sequence, he made like 2 or 3 saves in a 4
yes, he did.
Opportunity sequence.
I thought he was great yesterday.
Yeah, he was way better, I thought, than he was in game one. They actually tested him, too. Like, he got a chance to show that he's okay. Game one, they didn't really do that. They had more shots last night after 40 minutes than they had through 65 or whatever it was in game one. But I'd like to keep figuring out how good he is. It would be nice to just make him make some saves. Derek Law of the Nats and his teammates were at the game. The reliever ripped off his shirt and chugged a beer. He's going to join us next to talk about the atmosphere last night at the Caps game and the relationship between the two teams on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Our Caps playoff coverage on Grant and Danny's brought to you by Ace Trim Carpentry. For over 25 years, Ace Trim's been a trusted trade partner for new home builders in the DMV. They specialize in full-service interior trim carpentry, handling everything from supply to installation, turnkey and hassle-free. Contact us at acetrim.com today. Ace Trim, the home builder's trade partner. Last night, two suites worth of what appeared to be almost the entire Washington Nationals 26-man roster went to the Caps playoff game and enjoyed themselves. And at one point, they were showed on the Titantron, and some fellas ripped their shirts off and chugged a beer. One of those players that did that was reliever Derek Law, who's on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Derek, thanks for the time. Welcome to Grant and Danny. How are you, man?
No problem. I'm doing good. Doing pretty good.
So was that a bet? Was that something that you just planned on doing all along?
Or just a Thursday?
No, I just felt like if the Caps were at one of our playoff games, that probably would have happened. So I feel like I needed to show some love enough to get them going like that.
And by love, you meant skin.
Yeah, skin. Yeah, some skin. Yeah, for sure.
So you ripped the shirt off. I noticed none of your teammates followed you. You didn't drag them into that fight. I think there should have been more shirts ripped off.
I would agree. I would agree. I think everybody is a little hesitant. Maybe after I did it, they got a little bit more comfortable. I know Urban was pouring some adult beverages down my throat a little bit from up top.
So it's been a while since I've been at a club, but I believe that's called baby birding, right?
I have no idea. It's been a while for me as well, as you can tell.
Yeah. So he was pouring the big beer right down your gullet. And it looked like it went down smooth. That did not look like it was your first adult soda.
It definitely was not. No, it definitely was not. It was a fun night out with the boys. You know, whenever you can get pretty much the whole team was there, like you said, whenever you can get them together, we had the wives there as well. That's just such a good way to build team chemistry outside of what we already have. And, you know, it kind of was funny. Well, I watched the clip back and I didn't realize that everybody was also chugging. Like, I already had the plan to do it, and like everybody was kind of like saying they were going to do it, and then it was actually really cool to watch it, and everybody's just going to town, right? So, yeah, whenever you get the boys together like that, I mean, why not? Why not be all out and have some fun?
I was going to say, what's the pregame strategy conversation like? Where it's like, okay, we know we're on camera, it's chug time. Is everyone like, yeah, we'll totally do the shirt off bit, Derek, and then you do it by yourself, and they got you? Like, walk me through that.
No, it was definitely we were going chug time no matter what. We were going full chug time. They gave us the time we were going to be on, and the boys are ready. The boys went run straight to the fridge, crack one open, and we were just fully ready to go. The shirt off was just kind of a momentum thing, I think, for me. Being a fan of like the Steelers, I always go all out for, you know, my team. So I feel like, why not go all out for the Caps playoff game?
You did it right. I was so proud.
Yeah, well done.
Of Derek Law leading the charge. It was like you carried the flag. You were William Wallace just running into the mass of humanity, looking behind you, making sure the boys were following you. How would you grade the performance overall? Like, you've watched the tape, I'm sure, since. What'd you like? What didn't you like? And did you sit down with Hickey and Doolittle and go over it?
No, I have not yet. I just arrived at the field. I'm pretty sure that's going to be in probably our pregame meeting.
Okay, good.
They're probably going to go through that one, dissect it a little bit on me.
See how the mechanics were? Your elbow was a little too high here.
Hip hinge, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the towel waving, I got a little extra hyperextension on the elbow there. But it's all good. I'm used to that with terrible towels, so.
That was I was going to say. You look like a towel guy. It all makes sense now that you're a Steelers fan. I didn't realize that.
Yep.
Derek Law is with us on Grant and Danny, Nats reliever. So I just thought it was a cool idea. I'd heard, you know, after the game on Wednesday, I guess, that you guys were going. I was told Trevor Williams and some of the veterans, and maybe you were one of those veterans, kind of got together and got the guys' suites. We love this as fans, though, when we see that the Caps have done it for you and vice versa. There's this really cool relationship between the teams. Go into that if you don't mind. Just that inner city camaraderie. You guys are from all over. I'm sure you've got your own favorite teams in your own cities, but to support each other while you're here, fans really get a kick out of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if it was a regular season game, I mean, just going to support these other teams, whether it's the Mystics or the Caps. Commanders. I went to a Commanders game this offseason. We were playing the Steelers, so that was a tough one. we had Trevor Lowe, a couple older guys paid for it. It was just nice of them to just, like I said, getting the boys together. When you can do that and have an off day, and it's hard at home because a lot of guys are with their families, but you know they were invited as well. So I'm pretty sure the Caps were also very accommodating of us because we had, I think we had about 30 guys up in the suite, and they ended up opening the one next to us as well, just to give us some extra room, which was really awesome. You know, I mean, we could have been bundled in
there.
Were
you guys all piled into one suite at first?
No, it was open right when we walked in. So,
oh, gotcha.
I mean, our understanding was it was just one suite, but they ended up, I think they opened it up for us.
That's cool.
I don't know if they didn't sell it or whatnot, but it was really nice of them to be able to do that and kind of just give us that whole area to be in. Because like I said, I mean, it's pretty much the whole team. But again, whenever you can support a team like that, I mean, being an opposing player, I feel like I remember playing here in the, I think the Caps were here when we played here when I was with either the Reds or the Giants. And, you know, it's just like, if you could support your city that you're playing in, you know, they do a lot to support you. Then why not?
Danny.
Yeah.
I didn't know this about Derek Law. I'm connecting dots. Yinzer alert.
Yins.
Did you hear whatnot?
And whatnot.
Whatnot. Are you from Pittsburgh?
I'm from Pittsburgh, yes.
What's the opposite of going uptown?
Downtown.
Yeah,
that would be
that's what I thought.
Let me ask you this. If you dig into the cooler with your right paw there, or maybe use your left paw, you got to keep your right paw ready to throw a baseball, and you want to get a cola, what are you grabbing? You're not grabbing a Coke. You're grabbing a?
A pop.
That's tough.
That's a pop.
That's tough.
Yep, you're grabbing a pop.
A pop. That's right.
Sure are. Damn, we got ourselves a Yinzer.
An infiltrating Yinzer.
I grew up in the city, but I don't, my accent isn't quite Yinzer. I do have a couple buddies that are very, very Yinzer, though.
Would
definitely.
You, if you were asking, like last night, okay, let's say Irvin, Gore, name another guy. I didn't see the full suite, so who else was in the suite? I saw Irvin and Gore. Give me another guy in the suite.
I mean, pretty much the whole.
All right, so we'll say Alex
Trevor,
Cole.
Paul,
I saw him.
Yeah, Saul,
all right.
Cole, yeah.
So let's say they left and they went and got slices of pizza. If they come back in, are you saying, did you guys get pizza? Or are you saying Yins get pizza?
I don't say Yins. I said you guys. I'm a you guys guy
The formal you guys.
You guys.
Yeah.
You guys get some pizza? All right.
Did your gentleman return with slices of pizza?
Right.
Derek, what did the wives think? So I saw, so like in all the video, it's like they're in the background. Some are videoing, others are kind of doing the look
Such
that my
a
wife
good point.
Does to me when it's like whenever you're done. You know what I mean? Like how were the wives?
I mean, my wife personally knows probably what's going to happen if something like that's, forming.
She's telling everyone else, if Derek gets on TV tonight, it's
the head shake is so far from gone now.
Right.
But it's just an understood assignment at this point. I think they were shocked that everybody was on board.
Trevor kind of got it together.
I think Trevor kind of got it together. You know, he sent out a mass text right before the game about when we were going to be on. And it kind of got everybody jacked up for that moment, right? And then he's just like, all right, everybody's got to be ready. And, you know, after a whole first period of food and drinks and all that stuff, I think everybody was in the right mindset to get where they needed to go.
So you've obviously got nothing to be insecure about as a professional athlete. You're in the bigs. I always wonder about this, though, right? When you're like, I'm going to try to say this delicately. Did it look like you thought it would when your shirt was off? Like when you've seen the video back? You know what I mean? Like we have this idea about ourselves, and you're whipping the towel.
Oh,
you're
like,
did that look cool? Or am I like, oh no?
Yeah, I know. I'm not pulling out an eight pack under there.
Right.
I know that.
Right.
Six is good though. You had a six pack.
There was a pack.
No, not at all. No, that's a keg under there for sure.
The pony down there. The pony
but
keg.
But the comfort,
and that's okay.
Yes, it is.
And that's fine. I'm okay with that.
The comfort is what's important, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's how you win there. Derek Law of the Nationals is with us. So before we let you go, I want to bring up, Danny, I don't know if you're sleeping on this. I think Law turned in one of the great moments of the 2024 baseball season. I want you to think July 4th. I want you to think Jake Irvin going eight innings, and then he screamed too loud after the eighth inning, so he ran out of gas. Mm-hmm. And then Law comes in the bullpen cart with the American flag for the save and goes 1-2-3. That, my friend, I don't know if we could replicate that this July if you're healthy, but that's got to be a little tradition. Whoever comes in for the save is bringing the flag with them to the mound.
That would be pretty cool. It was very ballsy on my part now that I look back. I mean, if I didn't go 1-2-3, I think our coaching staff would have had a heart attack. I think they had a heart attack as I was coming out. But, you know, I mean, it's baseball. We're in the entertainment business, right? Why not make it fun?
This is a big week, by the way, for Derek Law. Obviously, the performance last night was outstanding. But can you tell people what's going on with the video game glitch and the kids and the jersey in Cincinnati?
Oh, yeah.
That was crazy.
So I've kind of just been fluctuating between the bullpen and the dugout because I'm on the IL. You know, if we need some runs, maybe I'll go somewhere else if it's not working out. You know, I'm a superstitious guy. So, yeah, these three kids who are from a little south of Louisville, from my understanding, when I met them, they were at the first game of the series in Cincinnati. Meanwhile, I was actually not scheduled to go on the road, and I ended up going on the road because I was starting to play catch. So fortunately, that ended up working out. But the first day, Mackenzie Gore, he came in from the bullpen, and he was like, hey, there's a bunch of kids down there with their jersey. And I honestly thought he was messing around because there's not too many of those floating around, I'll tell you that. I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever. He's like, no, serious, there's a couple kids out there. I was like, all right, whatever. And after the game, we're going to the bus, and I get on the bus, and they're out there. The way it's set up, there's like a big, you know, under garage right under the stadium, and they're kind of outside the garage because they can't come in. And they're out there, and I'm like, oh, man, I should have just went over there. And the bus was leaving, so I couldn't really just stop the bus. And they ended up chasing the bus. I mean, it's about a 10-block. I mean, it's not an easy run, I'll tell you that. It's a half marathon run, probably. Mm-hmm. And they chase it the whole way. So we were long gone, and I ended up getting back, and I waited in the lobby for a couple more minutes. So I was like, I mean, I got to wait for these guys if they're chasing a bus just for me. And I ended up just going back to my room because they weren't really showing up. So the next day, I got a direct message on Instagram. It was like, hey, we were one of the kids that were chasing the bus with our jersey. Didn't want you to think we're too crazy, but, you know, this is why. And the reason why was just because they play MLB The Show, and I guess online, if you throw an immaculate inning with somebody on like the hardest level, you unlock like a 99 diamond card of the guy, and then they did it with me of all people, and they just, I guess, have been just running through people with that card that they got, and they just became a fan.
Like, you're a buzzsaw really, in the game, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and it's really comical because like I can actually relate because like, you know, I remember when I was younger just playing MLB The Show, and you know, you do well with somebody and you just kind of gravitate towards that player. Like, honestly, for me, it was Colby Rasmus. I don't know why. I just raked with this guy in the video game, and I was a huge fan. I was like, I love this guy. Like, when he comes to play the Pirates, I'm going to come go watch him. But it was cool. So I ended up leaving them tickets the next day. They didn't have tickets, and they made the drive up, and I got to meet them pregame and just kind of just go through everything, sign their jerseys and all that stuff, which was really cool because, yeah, like I said, there's not too many of those out there. So anytime I see that and get a chance to sign it, then I will.
What a story. Derek, I mean, you were the momentum changer in the arena last night. You got the boys over the finish line.
It was already 1-0, but I'd like to think the extra goal.
Yeah, you got him the Carlson GWG and the Willie empty netter. You got Logan Thompson.
I'd like to think, because like if I'm playing and you know, we do pay attention sometimes to the outside, you know, to the stadium outside of the field. I'd like to think that they saw me on the Jumbotron and got a little excited and a little extra energy.
I think that's probably what happened. Derek Law of the Nationals on Grant and Danny. By the way, the fix to the bullpen on the line with us right now. When he comes back, everything changes. I asked Elias, by the way. I said, hey, what would the bullpen ERA, which is above 7 right now, B, if Derek Law was pitching and healthy, and Elias said 1.67. You're the fix.
That's outrageous, but I'd have to have a 0 through 20 innings, probably.
Immaculate innings.
Oh, yeah. The real life 99 card.
If I could get that glitch card, then I can use it and just set it on the mound when I go out there, then maybe, yeah, maybe that'll be a really good year.
Dude, seriously, that was so fun.
It was so fun,
and
buddy.
Just seeing you guys have a blast. I think you got the people in the barn
it was
going.
A great experience. I mean, thanks to the Capitals for, you know, just being able to have us out there.
Well, we'll have to run it back on the next off day when they're playing because it was good juju in the building. Have fun tonight. Get a good series in over at the ballpark and get healthy.
That's right. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Talk soon, buddy.
You got it. They need him back. Derek Law, Nats reliever on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. How about the D.C. athletes showing out last night? It was the Nats' turn.
So fun, man.
And they turned it up to 11.
Whatever that, like, I can't get enough of that. Like, that is the chocolate chip cookie for my sports. Like, I can't stop at one.
At 3 o'clock, I want to talk about the Commanders leaving the country for a game this season, it sounds like, on The Fan.
He does not, but the Caps end up with it anyway. Roy, far wing. Wilson can't clear. Shot attempt coming in from Burns. A save made by Thompson and a rebound that Protas will get out to center, but can't catch up to in the neutral zone. Now Protas gets it back, and a shot that breaks the stick of Burns. Lining up is Wilson. He scores! Wilson into the empty nets!
I just don't understand. So that was Walton? That's like a play-by-play call of last night's game? Why didn't he talk crap about the Capitals as he was calling it? You allowed to do it that way? I thought you should mention shot attempts more from the perimeter that had no chance of going in. But he didn't mention, like, that they hadn't won a game in this series yet or that they hadn't scored in a few minutes or none of that.
Man.
Wow, I just don't understand. That was a strange call, right, Danny, or no?
No, it was pretty standard. That's kind of how it usually goes.
Wow, that's interesting.
For the home team announcer, GP.
Very odd that it was called that way by John Walton. If I have to listen to a game again, I'll be listening to John Walton turning up the radio and turning off the national television broadcast. Where's TNT when you need him, huh?
Am I right? What are you...
Livid? Yeah, it was terrible.
Well... What would you say? Like, we've made fun in the past of people who think Troy Aikman hates the team,
exactly,
or Joe Buck hates the team, et cetera.
So I got, like,
is this
probably
the same?
Well, I mean, someone could say that, I guess. I got 10 or 12 messages on Instagram DM during game one, including a text from my brother, which is not that, but a lot of people saying, the broadcast is terrible. They're glazing Carolina. They're killing the Capitals. And I responded to every one of those people and said, bro, They're dominating the game. Like, what do you expect them to do?
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that argument if your point is the Caps aren't playing good and the Canes were. But number one, I don't think that was really the case for the duration of last night. Number two, it's hard to explain if you're not watching and listening, but the play-by-play guy's role is not to editorialize as negatively and often as McDonough did. And I don't even love killing him because I actually do like McDonough. I think he's a really good play-by-play guy. He calls some Red Sox games. He calls a lot of games in different sports.
He's versatile, yeah.
Yeah, I've long liked him. But the example I'll give you, Danny, is the Capitals finally get a shot. The shots are 2-2 in the first period. You know, the Capitals haven't gotten a shot in an extended period of time. It's been two shifts. I mean, it's just these little jabs, and the Canes hem them in and have them, you know, this looks reminiscent to game one. It's just these little over and over jabs, moment after moment. I was unnecessarily just call the game.
So he's now. I will say now. It's up to the beholder whether you don't like that style or not. I actually think that's a fair conversation. But McDonough, from my experience listening to him, and I couldn't give you an encyclopedic rendition of every call he's ever made. But he'll do that. Like if he's calling West Virginia, Pittsburgh. West Virginia hasn't managed a first down in over two quarters. They really can't get a yard. He'll do that. Now,
so,
if you think that's not his place to do that, I think that's fair.
If you sound like you got a deeper Sean McDonough file of how he calls West Virginia football games than I do, I'll take your word for it. I just know what it's supposed to sound like, and it's not supposed to sound like that, number one. But number two, if you are that guy, if you editorialize constantly and you do the color guy's job as well, and you're going to do the job for both of you and take all the oxygen out of the booth, then that's fine. But you have to do that both ways. And when Carolina hasn't had a shot for a few minutes in the second period, there's no acknowledgement of that. When the Caps are dominating play in the second period and Ferraro was talking about how they're on their game now, and this is getting very suspect for Carolina. Look at the momentum shifting here. Like, that was not what he was saying at any point. You know, it's almost like the guy with the Boston background who's called a lot of Rangers games and whatever else doesn't enjoy the Caps very much. I don't necessarily think that's the case, but that's what it felt like to me. I went into the broadcast thinking everyone's wrong. They played like crap, and they're upset that he said they played like crap. It's the little comments in the middle of a play. Great sequence in front of the net. They get a golden opportunity and almost score. The crowd comes to their feet, and his call is a rare near opportunity for Washington, who has just two goals in the series. They've got more than the other team does in the series. It's just very strange. The crowd finally has something to cheer about. The shots are about even right now. It didn't reflect to me the game. They've played two games. Imagine if they'd been outscored by a couple of goals. They haven't trailed for a single second. Like, it just doesn't sound like that. To me, he was calling a Blackhawks 79 Canadians game last night. Like, he was stunned every time Washington had a decent shift. They were the best team in the East all year, bro. I don't know what to tell you. They're not that terrible. Let's go to Johnny in Fredericksburg. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, man, thank you for taking my call. In regards to, like, national media, that's been going on, like, the whole time Ovechkin's been a Capital, I feel like. From, like, the moment he had his visor to, like, even, like, the one-trick pony. I feel like the national media, I don't know if they do it intentionally or not, they just don't like the Capitals. They never give them respect. In regards to the series, I'm really excited. I saw a lot. I'm actually more confident in the team now than I was the first game. The first game did kind of give me ifs, but I was pretty confident that they'd come back and bounce back. The reason being Logan Thompson. Now, my main reason is why I'm more confident is that they scored three goals on us. Two of them were, like, really, like, hard shots. Like, if I'm not mistaken, the one in overtime went right through his pads and, like, slunk in. He was in good position. And the one that they scored in the game, also, he was in good position, but just, like, stuck through his arm. So I'm really confident that we're going to win, but this is going to go seven games. And that's all I pretty much have to say.
It feels like a long series. I mean, you'd have to acknowledge Carolina has been the better team for more minutes of the series, obviously. I think that that's fair. But I think the Caps are pretty content knowing they have not played their A game yet. They have played one overtime game and lost and won one game, albeit with an empty netter, by multiple goals.
There's two ways to look at it. I think the positive way, and the way that these guys probably will, is we haven't played great yet, and we're even Steven against a good team, and, you know, we're pretty good ourselves. Let's see what happens. The negative way, or the pessimistic way, is there's a reason we haven't played that well yet, because Carolina's given us some problems. You know, where the truth is, probably somewhere in between, but because you won that game last night, talking about the Caps, you're now in it. It's relevant, right? I mean, you can afford, not that you'd want to, but you can afford a bad break in a period. You can afford a goal like they lost on an overtime where it's as soft as all heck, but just, you know, the screen happened at the exact right time, and it was one of those non-danger chances that resulted in a goal. You can now sort of breathe easier knowing that you've still got some game to be able to make it up.
Is Danny Ruye going to fly across the ocean to see the Commanders play this year if he gets a chance to? Let's get into that next on G&D.